to have a look up of, because he's quite good, and he has loads and loads and loads of those sort of videos on particular things if you're having trouble with something. But I think, as you can see, you know, if you did continue, so put your hands up, eyes and ears this way. I don't know why we think ears aren't going to go that way, but anyway, we still do it. Hands up, you know, make sure you're listening to what I'm saying, whatever. The eye rolling and the arm folding isn't really going to do anything. They're just getting themselves like, no, oh, you know, you've taken a bit of my power, but I'm not going to let you have the whole lot. So those kids exist everywhere, and, you know, adults exist like that. You know, if we're told not to do something, we suddenly do the whole thing, whatever. And you roll your eyes and look the other way or whatever. It's just our way of offloading that, oh my gosh, someone's picked me up. So tactical ignoring is only when it's not going to be unsafe if that behaviour continues. And that wouldn't have been unsafe. Okay, you probably do this so often that you don't even realise you're doing it when the kids go back to do their own activity and you're constantly redirecting them to get it done. So it's another good skill. If you're up and you're moving and you're around the kids all of the time, it's really important to redirect them back to the learning. Remember why we're here today. That's why your learning intention that you have here is so important. Okay? I'll talk to you about this when we do the lesson planning, but we actually have our learning intention stated on a board somewhere or on a cardboard or whatever it might be. We actually have that visible all of the time that we're teaching. You're actually given yours quite specifically on your lesson plans here, because that directs them to why we're doing this. I often notice in the SRE classes that I've sat in on previously, and it's never been Buddhism, I've only ever had, I think, Arabic for a while and Catholic and Protestant. Quite often, the activity that they do does not relate to what they just talked about, because they just go back to their book and they go to page 27 and they go to the next activity. So they may have been talking about, in the Catholic religion, for example, Pentecost, a celebration of the Catholic Church, and suddenly they go back and their activity, because they weren't there the last 2 weeks and they're told to do the next one, their next activity is a find a word on Christmas. So it's really important that the intention of the lesson remains the same throughout. Yours do that beautifully. You're very lucky. Whoever's writing these is doing an exceptional job. Oh, it's you, little one, is it? Not you. Oh, there you go. You were getting some praise from behind that you don't deserve. We'll take it back. It was lovely to have for a second. So whoever's writing these is doing a brilliant job of keeping the intention thorough throughout the whole thing. So what we do in redirecting to learning is we have our intention up. So let's say, for example, it might be our learning intention, literally written up here, learning intention. Sometimes we might have I won't use it again, it's all right. I won't step back there, I'll know it's there. If we had learning intention written up here, or we might have it on like a laminated piece of paper that we can rub off and then take back to the next lesson. We will talk about this in the lesson planning, but if we have it up there, I can keep coming back to it. So if I've got kids who are back working, and if I was doing an English one where it was to, you know, write a simple sentence, I would go back to my learning intention once they've gone back to their tables, and I would say, don't forget today we are learning to write a simple sentence. All you have to do when you're back there is write a simple sentence. That's our intention of today. No more, no less. Write a simple sentence. I might go back to that 3 or 4 times, depending on how unsettled the group are once they're back at their tables. So redirecting back to what your learning focus is really, really important, because then they know you've done something for a reason. That it's not just an activity to fill in time, it's actually to add value to their learning of that particular thing that you're wanting them to do. So we will talk about that in the lesson planning bit. Sometimes, and again it's a little bit difficult for you, when it comes to giving a choice, you will know in your group, and especially if you're having K1 and 2 together, or 3, 4 and 5 and 6 together, there is a vast range of abilities, a ridiculously vast range of abilities. It can happen just in a straight year 4 class, but when you're actually doing that, you've got kids who were having their first weeks at school from kindergarten, right up to those kids that are now in their third year, in year 2, in the same room. So sometimes you have to change the activity that you're doing to suit the needs of the children that you have. You might even have a year two child who you know just can't do the activity that you've got them to do. Their writing is poor, their reading is poor, their ability to attain to task is poor, whatever it might be, and you might have to completely change that activity because you know sending anyone back to do something they can't do will result in kids being off task. Mm-hmm. It will just happen, whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. It'd be like saying to me, when you go back with your medical journal, I want you to answer the 20 questions about medicine. I would seriously be finding anything else to do. I would be rolling my eyes. I would be flicking a pencil. I'd be tapping the top of it, whatever it might be. Even as adults, if we get ourselves put in a situation where we can't do something, we will find a way to distract ourselves or to pretend that we can. So sometimes you might have to give a choice. You know, if you can't do that one, I want you to have a go at this one. So it won't be for everybody, and you may not even have to do it in your lesson plan because it may not be specific enough that they have to show a level of skill to do something. You might just have an activity where they just have to, you know, colour something in, or they might just have to cut something out or whatever. Anyone can do that. However, the level of skill that is needed for those things to be executed is different for everybody too. So sometimes giving a choice is a nice opt-out of the negative behaviour that will happen if you keep pursuing the task. You've only completed half of the sheet, probably because you can only do half of the sheet. So just be careful of that. It's not a big thing for you to have to worry about, but could certainly be one of the reasons why someone's acting out when they go back to have to do the task. They may not be able to do it. Sometimes too, it's a good idea if you've got a nice settled group who can go back to their seats and work nicely, to be able to keep those kids who can't do it on their own with you. So you might be able to sit on the floor with them or sit at their desk, get them together and sit at their desk with them and do the activity with those kids so that they don't get to that point of going off task because they can't do. You're right there. That'll only happen, of course, if you've got a nice settled group, which I'm sure some of you do. This is hard for you, again, follow through. We always say that, you know, you get your most respect from the fact that you follow through on what behaviours have happened and you actually do continue the consequence of whatever it is that they've done. Some kids don't deserve to get away with what behaviour they've displayed. It's that simple. And if you don't curb it, they will keep doing it over and over and over again. It's like speeding in my car. If I'm late and I'm speeding and I get caught, I won't do it again. If I'm speeding and I'm late and I don't get caught, I'll do it again. It's human nature. We just do that stuff. So until we get a consequence and we do follow through on the behaviour that was concerning, they will keep doing it. For you, that is a challenge because you have such a short amount of time, and then 7 days later, you return for a short amount of time again. And what we suggest is that any consequence that is ever given is given immediately. So for you, it's about trying to find that one thing that everybody loves doing. It might be that they love doing the meditation. It might be that they love, at the end, getting a little card that has, you know, the saying on it or whatever it might be. And sometimes that kid who hasn't been good misses out. It will break you more than it will break them. Guaranteed. You'll be walking out going, I wish I'd been able to give that card to that kid, but I couldn't today because I just couldn't let everyone else know that it was okay. And also let them know. We're not helping them by letting them get away with it. A child who starts stealing in kindergarten will steal a car when they're 18 if we don't stop it. And then they'll go to jail. So there are consequences, little, that can be given and should be followed through. So if someone's not doing something the whole lesson for you, if you don't get the opportunity to follow it through, let the person who has the class know. If you do get to see someone, and again, it's usually a big shuffle and a big changeover and you don't see anybody, or just make a note to let your coordinator know and they can let the person in charge of scripture know. I have someone at my school who coordinates scripture, so if anything goes wrong, Leanne finds out about it and then she deals with it. Because again, you know, you deserve respect. It's half an hour, it's your own time, it's not paid. The last thing we want is for you not to come back and do it again. So we need to make sure that we look after you just as much as you're looking after our kids for that time. In my school, we actually have teachers in the classrooms with the scripture teachers, so you're not alone. We tend to have that. Where we can, we do so. It might be one teacher between two classes, only because someone's got to take the non-scripture kids or those that choose not to go to a particular religion. A teacher has to be responsible for them. So, unfortunately, that does drag one person away from their classroom. But there is generally somebody around that you could say, I had a really hard day, we did it today. It was really challenging. I tried this, this and this. None of it worked. I can't have that happen again.
Excuse me. May I ask, what did the teachers in charge of scriptures do if one report certain people are not doing the right things?
Yeah. So that'll differ in each school as far as that goes, because in my school, for example, if you had gone through the process, if you'd said to the scripture teacher, I gave them a warning, I moved them away from their behaviour, I showed them the classroom rule and told them what they needed to do, you've been through all the steps you possibly can, we then have a system where the child gets a white slip. Now, what a white slip is basically a little bit of information to the parent, to let them know that they've had a bad day. So sometimes kids will go home feeling really bad if they've done something wrong, others won't care, but the parent cares sometimes, most often. So we send that home. If they get three of those white slips in a calendar month, they then move into our reflection process, which is coming off the playground at lunchtime, missing out on some play. Now, depending on how bad it is, let's say, for example, a child was completely going off and flipped a table in your room, they would go straight to red level. There'd be no white slip, no niceness leading up. You don't behave like that at the end. So you will go straight to reflection and off the playground. That's pretty much the most we can do in primary schools anyway. So each school has their own system. So if my coordinator found out that a particular child had been doing the wrong thing, first and foremost, I would contact the parent. So I personally, as the principal, would contact the parent and say, you have chosen for your child to attend Buddha Scripture, and this is the way they behave today. Can you have a chat to them? Let them know that it's unacceptable behaviour, and they will be getting a white slip from us.
What is that? How long is that? For instance,
zero.
For the last term that I was in the classroom,
yep.
A gang of people, they always move themselves under the table.
Mm-hmm.
I have used the technique to stand close to them, and
they don't
just
care.
roll out, roll in, and mm-hmm. then the one move out, the other one will move in.
Yep.
So I'm just wondering,
how much do you take?
yeah. Like, if every week is the same, then
yep.
we do the same process,
yep.
and then I give them good feedback and
yep.
try to trace them and
yep.
they move out, whatever techniques I've used.
Uh huh.
They don't
care.
Every week they will repeat the same.
Yep.
They will
have you tried sitting
tolerance.
Them with you at the front?
No, I can't, because one move out and then the other one move in.
Right.
They're roaring around.
So they literally move all the way around the room.
So she also tried to stand next to those gang where
they
are trying to continue
to. It's a gang. They do. They will feed off each other. They become a gang. Yeah.
The
so
one of the children have autistic
yes.
or something like that.
Yep.
Throughout my teaching for so many years
yes.
in the primary,
yes.
always have one has a problem.
Always.
Like one is hypoactive before.
Yes.
He always come with a guardian like next to
oh,
him.
Oh, okay. Someone
but
helping
now
him,
this
yep.
one has like withdraw.
Yep.
In the beginning, he will hide himself in a room
yep.
with a teacher next to him to guide him.
Yep.
But slowly, in about 2 years, he slowly come out and pay attention what
okay.
we are doing.
Yeah,
the teacher knows that one.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the one to lead all the others.
Sure.
At the end, because now he's growing into this year five now, so he saw John in our group, but slowly one or two odd lessons, he very active.
Oh yeah.
He even sit on the table and sit on the chair.
Yep.
He really couldn't do much.
Yep.
That is true, because he's something different to normal student.
Mm. Yes.
And we can't tell him.
Yes.
So that is the one. You
yes.
go in and bring the others together.
Oh yeah, they do. They're very good at it. And sometimes it's kids they've never had any contact with before that suddenly form the gang. They get in there and they think it's fun. And he gets away with it, so why don't I, you know? And I think in that situation for that, you know, for a child who you've already identified as saying they have an issue, there's a big issue there, there would be things in place for that child. Now, unfortunately, we're not very good at communicating. And scripture teachers come and go that we go, yep, they're here, now they're gone, thank you. That we don't think it important enough to let you know. And have you had a discussion with any teacher at any time about him? Someone will know, somebody will know who the supervisor of that school is, who the coordinator is. It's worth having a discussion because ultimately it's going to end up unsafe. It's that simple. Because one day, one of those tables that one of them climbs under is going to fall. And you can guarantee it's going to hit the child who doesn't deserve it, who's sitting in the back listening to you. And then suddenly you've got a whole other gamut and they'll say, oh, why didn't you say something earlier? Well, you know, who to? Who was I to tell it to? So at the beginning of the year with my scripture teachers, we introduce Leanne to them and I make sure that she's available during that half hour or the hour, because it goes K to 2 and then 3 to 6. So during the hour, she's available if they have issues as they leave when they sign out. As you sign out, if you can't find anybody to talk to about it, I would leave a message with the office staff because they will pass it on. They're great. They love dobbing. They love it. So if they get any information from someone saying that, you know, this class has been so hard today, this particular child we need to have a chat about, they'll follow it up. They will pass it on to the right people. You need to talk to someone because that's ridiculous. It will only get bigger and bigger and it will become more and more unsafe. Unsafe for the other kids, more than even those kids. You know, if it fell on them, that's karma, isn't it?
Sometimes. You
know? Is that not allowed to have karma? I call that karma. But anyway, you probably call it nasty karma. But anyway, you know, those particular kids, it will guarantee not happen to them that the table falls on them, but they'll be the ones responsible for it. And then they'll say, you should have said something. Why didn't you say something? So say something. It's not a reflection on you at all. You are there for half an hour once a week. If anyone calls it a reflection on you, then they really need to have a think about why they're taking on that role of being the scripture coordinator anyway. But, you know, it's about getting some assistance for those children. They're impossible kids. There would be a classroom teacher who has just as much trouble as you do. However, they've got a rapport with that kid and they know what to do when things go wrong because he would have what we call a behaviour management plan, his very own, completely separate. That child who I talked to you about who checks in all the time with that particular mentor teacher that they've chosen, they have a special program completely. They don't run by our normal system at all because they would spend their whole time, you know, suspended. Because they wouldn't last a minute. So they are on something completely separate that all the kids in the class are aware of, and you're getting them for half an hour. That's an impossible task. Yeah, so I would definitely, definitely talk to somebody about that and just say, you know, if that particular child is the crux of the problem, then that particular child's not welcome at Scripture. You're volunteering. You know, we wouldn't do it if you were volunteering to do knitting or to do cooking. We wouldn't let that child go if they were being disruptive. We'd say, sorry, you miss out. But scripture we send to say, good luck, see you later, half an hour, you're right. And it can be the worst half hour of your life. Definitely talk. I would talk to someone. I think that's nearly it. Should be nice for you. This kind of started already, obviously, just that little discussion there, but from the beginning of the year, so you've had a whole term now of thinking about the kids that you have in your rooms and the kids whose behaviours you're dealing with. Are there any questions or concerns that you have at the moment? Is there something that's working really well in your room that you think, wow, you know, like last time I had that, it was a really difficult child and now I'm seeing that that's making a difference? Or are there concerns like that that you want to address right now and ask questions about? Because I'm more than willing to answer anything to the best of my ability as well. Yep.
So I have experience for one pair of two boy, kindy boy, and also one is high school. I don't know what's their class. Maybe year 8, year 9. These two boys, they would like to sit like this.
Yep.
They do meet together. They disturb each other.
Yep.
So how to handle that?
Yep, yep. I would be making the direct move away. That's simple. Like, don't even give them a choice. Don't even say, you know, it's not working for you there. I would just say, get up and move away.
But they refuse. They refuse. They want to go. They don't want to go and not back.
They wouldn't refuse for me.
And we don't have time. We don't have time. So next time when they are in the queue, I already noticed, so they need to sit
away. Yes. So maybe, yeah, definitely sit them. And you know what? If the floor is too difficult, don't let them sit on the floor. Take them straight to their seats. If you normally come in, by the look of this, you would normally come in, sit them on the floor, greet them, do your little introduction, do your teaching part, and then move them back to the seats. Like, that to them is a luxury. It's a luxury to be given that opportunity to move around a little bit. It's only half an hour. If it's not working, start them in seats. Don't even give them an option of being on the floor.
Because the classroom is not fit for so many students. So because
yes.
Yeah,
they're squished them in to start with. Yep.
So they don't get a seat.
Yep.
So I would have
their names on cards. Those, and don't just choose those two. Like, choose, you know, maybe six or eight, and it can be some good kids as well. And it just happens to be that because our class is so busy, you and you and you get to sit in a seat. You're going to sit here. You're going to sit there with a card with their name on, so they think they're special. You're going to sit in those places. But it just happens to be that every single time it's those two, and they're on opposite sides.
I'm thinking next,
because whilst
term,
ever they're on the floor, yeah, they will find each other.
I'm thinking next term I try to put them sit this way. Because
definitely.
I'm not mean for these two boys.
No.
For the whole class.
Yes.
Because we got year 3, 4, 5, 6. They are quite different. So I would like to
Show more at once.
3, 4, 5, 6.
Wow. I wouldn't like that myself.
We have 36 students. Almost 40 students for these 3, 4, 5, 6.
Really?
But they are very good students.
Yeah, just
they
a couple that...
They behave,
yeah.
They interact, they have good manner.
Yes.
We're really lucky to have this class.
Sure.
Even though it's such a huge class.
Yes.
But
just
the,
a couple.
But the two... The,
yeah.
Not couple, but they are kidney. It's
yes.
very hard. It's because they're so little, so young.
Yes.
It's very hard to separate them.
No, it's not. It's so not. It's as easy as going get up and move. Yeah, no.
I mean, they need the brothers.
Well, bad luck.
They need the brothers.
You're there to learn not to have a hug. I would definitely start to move some of those kids off the floor. That's crazy. I couldn't do 36 on the floor. It's hard yakka. Like, that's hard work. I would probably put, maybe even if you put your year 5 and 6 in the tables. We trust you to go to the tables. Everyone else is staying on the floor.
But it's okay. In my school, the 3, 4, 5, 6 is
yes.
But only
yeah.
the kindy one is difficult.
Yeah, he's been the difficult one, God love him. So I would definitely move
and
some
I taught
up.
Something, they taught something else.
Yeah.
Just sit in front of me.
Yes, sit right here in front of me. And you can, I mean, I would probably do that too. Like, you've already tried that and they still find their way back and they'll still do it. As soon as you turn your eyes for a second, they've moved three people and you go, how the hell did that happen? You were just right next to me. So, yeah, maybe think about literally separating them. Literally. And, you know, if you make it the 5s and 6s who get to sit in the seats, they feel a little bit special about that anyway, because they get an opportunity to be the bigger kids who sit in seats and on the floor. I wonder why we put 5s and 6s on the floor anyway. I mean, it's uncomfortable, they hate it and they roll around.
Because
and,
26 students, 40
yeah.
students, how you get a castle?
You have to do that,
students.
Yeah. You have to sit them in seats and some of
the
floor.
But the principal already very nice. They
yes.
got a new furniture, new
okay.
seat, and this movable chair.
Oh,
they
okay.
can move all the chair to one side, and then they can, all the students, they can sit on the ground.
Wow. I'd be putting some in seats,
yeah.
and especially that one, the older brother
no,
in the seat.
No. We are talking separate classroom. Yeah, the 36 student is the older student.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the sitting to each other is the kindy. Is there difference?
Right.
And
okay.
The kindy one only have 20 students.
Oh, right. Okay.
And
okay.
they are small size.
Yes, they're tiny. They can sit on the floor
tiny,
and be close. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
power groups.
Yeah,
power
you can
groups.
Group them. Yeah. Yeah.
But does it matter? That's a matter. They lean to each other. Like if they are still listening to,
they're not.
They
play with each other.
Of course, they will not listen.
They
can sit like this.
You can't
and also, one is picking many trouble. One
I'd suggest a cage, but we'd probably get in trouble.
They are very quick. These little kids are very quick. We were in a temple in a Chinese class, and I was assisting Helen.
Yes.
And Helen gave, one girl is particularly active. She run around. Helen gave her very clear instruction. It's a clear instruction. Your bum will not move away from your chair until I said so.
Perfect.
And you know what the girls need.
That was you. Good.
She did this.
She took the chair.
She took the whole chair.
The bum didn't move.
Her bum didn't move.
You're kidding.
Yes.
We were speechless.
Yeah, I would have had to laugh and go, okay, today you win. Next week I'm going to change my instruction.
Too.
Oh, the mum was there.
Yeah, plus the assistant.
Oh, you're kidding.
Three adults.
And she's still...
And all the masters. Yeah, she couldn't control
it. She still did it. Yeah, that's... There's other stuff going on for that child. Oh, my goodness. They are so clever, aren't they? They will always find a way.
Yep,
she knew what to do. I won't take my bum off, but I'm moving the chair. That's clever. They are clever. They have some great ideas. Are there any other concerns or worries? I don't know how to fix that one.
Glue it. Maybe before the class, say, where would you like to sit today without moving anywhere else? You just pick a spot and sit.
Just sit.
Just stand.
Don't move. Stand up.
But I have a clue today. Because at the end of the lesson, we normally give them one bag of bits to eat, things to take away.
Yep.
That I should have told her.
You don't get it.
You're not going to get it.
Great. Sorry.
You give it at the last.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't give.
But they're hungry because they just come from the school.
Yeah,
hungry.
But you see,
bad luck.
But the parents found out.
You plan the lesson.
Bad luck. It is a lesson. And honestly, if you don't do it, she will keep doing it because she's clever. How clever is she? I wouldn't have thought of that. She thought of that. So she's already coming clever. If you don't give her a consequence, she will keep becoming more and more clever as time goes on, and suddenly she'll be ruling the class and you'll be sitting in the seat.
Yeah, I think the mom once told us the reason she put her daughter in our class is to make her calm down to get ready for next year to go to school.
Oh, so she's not even at the school yet.
She's
really
young.
Young baby.
Five.
So why is she there?
Younger than five. Yeah.
So you're just being nice, letting her come.
I have to teach whoever was given to me from the temple, because the mama was the...
Yeah. So it was actually here, not in a school?
No,
in a temple.
In a temple.
Kids class.
Yeah.
In Chinese.
That's nasty. Yeah, good luck with that one.
Sit on the ground,
no
chair.
Yeah, that's right. Bum doesn't move off the ground.
Oh, yeah? Good one.
Good luck taking the ground with your little one. Good luck taking the ground.
She would go like that.
Yeah, I'm still on the ground, my bum has come off. I will slide my way to you. She won't. She sounds clever. Yeah, good luck at school next year. Yes, done.
When the boy touched the sister,
you're not supposed to touch her.
They keep on touching each other.
Wow.
And then whenever I read a story, they can answer the questions straight away. They're both very good students.
So they know what's going on.
But they might ask. I'm just trying to ask, find out the relationship. And
yes.
We are brother and sister. I don't know whether it's a dress that I should talk to the parent, I should talk to the teacher.
I would definitely let the teacher know. It's not a huge issue when they're siblings, only that it's odd.
It's just it's under the order to have a habit.
Yes. Maybe they copy from the mum.
They're kindies. Are they twins?
No.
Not twins.
Yeah, Abby's okay, yeah.
When they're little, yeah. I mean, it's not. I would still mention it. I would let the teacher know again. Like, I would sort of say, you know, I don't know whether this is common practice when they're together, but I just notice that they do spend a lot of time touching each other the whole time they're on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, are you happy to leave it like that, or do you want me to address it? And it's really up to them to address that, because that's something that, you know, I would say it's not just happening there. I don't know any brothers and sisters who do that to each other, but they usually do the opposite. They just want to punch them out or kick them or be nasty. But it's not normal.
It's odd.
It's just odd.
How about in high school?
Yes, yeah, that's got to be stopped. I mean, that's just not... You don't need that distraction either for everybody else to be going...
What's going on?
You know, why are they touching each other? So definitely you've done the right thing letting the coordinator know. Yeah, because again, it's such a short time that you're there and, you know, it could just be a thing put on for you, or it could be something that they haven't even noticed because they're not normally together. Because again, you're bringing together a group of children that aren't normally together. Brothers and sisters and stuff like that, so...
All right. I've got one question,
yes.
Right? In a kindergarten, that is a donut class, we paste it. And when I reading to the student and few of them raise hand, I don't understand English. Can you talk Chinese?
It's your hand.
You
said
hand to me.
Love them.
I said, how can I talk in Chinese? The teachers there and other students is not the Chinese.
Yes.
So I don't know how, and I only say, no, now you live in Australia, we need to learn Chinese.
No, yes.
No, I don't do that way. I don't do that way. It happened to me, and I say, okay, Saturday and Sunday are at our temple. You know, come to our temple.
There you go. You're returning.
It's hard, that's the problem. When they come to school and they don't have a lot of English, it is difficult. And if they know someone who can speak, I mean, I would be the same. If I went to China and I found someone who could speak in English to me, I'd be going, come here. You know? What did they say? You know? I used to do it when you used to say some stuff to your little friends. I'd be like, I wonder if she's talking about me. But I think it's really important that, you stick to English here and you're saying the right thing. You know, now we're in Australia, we have to speak English, and this is going to help you learn.
Yeah, I say slowly. Next year you will understand.
You will get better. And they pick it up so quickly. Like, by the end of this term, end of term one, you would have noticed even in those kids probably a remarkable difference in the language that they were speaking. It's survival. You have to learn. Like, if I was to go to China, I would need to learn the basics. How do I go to the toilet? Where do I eat? When do I eat? You know, that kind of stuff has to happen, survival stuff. But I can imagine if they had the opportunity, would suck it up. Yeah. And I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. And I don't know that any of us would have a problem if, you know, at the end of that particular lesson that you'd spoken in English, that you quickly spoke to them in Chinese about what they had to do, you know, like go back to your seats or whatever. That wouldn't be a huge issue. But again, like you say, you've got half the kids who don't even speak Chinese now. They only speak English. And then this little core group that are asking for assistance.
That's
right.
After that, few of them keep asking Donna, when did Donna teach her back? I know they miss her.
Because you know what? That child was asking me before that, excuse me, I don't understand the English.
Few of them,
would you able to speak a few Mandarin? Because in the whole classroom, nearly more than almost half than the Chinese kids.
Yes.
So I was very just English first and then talk to them a little bit. Chinese
and that's
as well.
Okay.
That makes
classroom will be harmony together. Otherwise, all the kids, they're not really understand what you're talking about. They just pray each other, they pray them by themselves.
It's a huge advantage that we have being able to do that. I can't do any
other
language.
It's already let them understand.
Yeah, that's right. That's
about.
Right. And then they're straight off. They're like, oh, I get that. I understand that word.
That's
and stuff like that. Yeah, that's right. I would still do that.
So
if I had the ability.
Provide them with like a supporting document they can go home, like what's the English and Chinese, like a printing or notes.
Do you know
where they can...
in any schools that we have bilingual children? So I haven't been in one for a while. Buxton is 99.9% Anglo, but where in schools where I have been, any notes that we would send home, we would have translated. And most of the Department of Education, if they're sending home a note, say it's about NAPLAN, like the NAPLAN test that's coming up, they'll have it in a dozen other languages that we can send it home in for parents to have. So, yeah, that's not a problem at all. And no school, especially, you know, the fact that you're Buddhist teachers, so you're going into an environment where it's unlikely to be Anglo-Saxon children who are there, I don't think that would be an issue at all. The department does it quite freely.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, we do that often.
Donna didn't warn me, and my year one noticed problem. And suddenly, I don't know how to handle.
It's new. It's all new, isn't it?
It's
same for every teacher every year. You know, you can be in the same school for 10 years and have 10 different classes and have to do it 10 different ways. Even though you're running in the same school with the same rules, the same ideas, same culture, guaranteed it changes. So you would have it even more.
Yeah, and also because very new for me, right? Only this year, and my year one, where this one boy particular every time roll on the floor, doesn't matter how that, and initial the first 3 weeks, the class teacher leave it, and after he go.
Yes.
So I so difficult to handle her.
Yes.
And later I think she found out she put another assistant teacher.
Okay.
And this assistant teacher very good straight away said, standing up.
Yes.
Take her outside the door.
Yes.
And quite well with her.
Yes.
With him. And after that he would come back and sit next to the teacher and
yes.
quiet.
Yes, not a word.
Yeah, so yeah. It's good for
we're not
me.
Very kind. I'm nothing like this to my children, like I'm telling you. I'm much nastier. No, that works. If you've got, I think it's really important to let someone know as soon as something goes wrong, enough that it's going to cause safety concerns, because you don't want to be responsible for something that happens that's unsafe. That's a lot of paperwork.
Sorry to interrupt. Sorry.
But it's time for lunch.
Yes.
Okay, so before we go, just let's put our heads together to thank
you. Thank you. I'm sorry if it was lots of talk. I'll make the next one.